Thank you, David. Thank you, Jordy. Could we read from Hebrews chapter 9? Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and reading from verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And we want this morning to consider the contents of the ark of the covenant, which were, as described in the previous verses, the golden pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. But firstly, we will consider the tables of the covenant, then the golden pot of manna, and thirdly, Aaron's rod that budded. Turn with me now to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18, which reads, "And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God." And then chapter 32 and verse 1. Chapter 32 and verse 1. "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall be before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." And verse 19, "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made, and burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink it. Moses was 40 days and 40 nights in the mountain, receiving the law from God, and God wrote the 10 commandments on both sides of the tables of stone." Then Exodus 24 and verse 18, "And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. And in Exodus 32 and verse 15, Exodus 32 and verse 15 we read, "And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on their both sides, on the one side and on the other they were written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. Exodus 34 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I'll write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. Continuing reading from verse 27. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant of the Ten Commandments. Now Moses had went into the mount, and the Lord had given Moses the Ten Commandments on the tables of stone. But when Moses came down from the mount, and the children of Israel had committed idolatry by worshipping the calf, and Moses in his wrath threw the tables down and broke them. But he prayed and forgiveness, and the Lord brought him up into the mount again, and he was there 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord gave him the Ten Commandments on the two tables of stone. But the Lord also, during that 40 days and 40 nights, gave Moses the law. And here we see the beginning of the Bible. The Ten Commandments was written on the two tables of the stone, written by God himself with the finger of God. And that Moses was commanded by God to write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, verse 27. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou the words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And then after Moses, the rest of the Bible was written by holy men of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that the complete Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the word of God, is of God. Peter writes in 2 Peter 2 and verse 16, We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Here the Apostle Peter is telling us that James, John, and Peter witnessed the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they heard God the Father say from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And we would do well to hear the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Apostle John informs us in John chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And if you're not saved this morning, and know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hear the word of God this morning. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to save you, and he will. And you'll be born again of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit will witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. You'll receive the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. John chapter 3, verse 3 read, "The mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. And his mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." So do we take Mary's advice this morning? Are we obedient to God's word this morning? Remember what Samuel said to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So obey the word of God this morning. Look unto the Lord, ask him for salvation, and he will save you. Earlier we said that the Bible was commenced by God with the two tables of stone written by the finger of God and continued by Moses and by holy men of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible is the inspired word of God. And in Revelation 22 and verse 18, the Lord Jesus Christ states, "I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add on to these things, God shall add on to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." This is a very strong warning not to tamper with the written word of God. And anyone who does so at the cost of their own precious souls. For God shall take away his part out of the book of life. The Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the gold in pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 4. The Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And now we look at the golden pot that had manna. Turn with me again to Exodus chapter 36 and verse 33. Exodus chapter 36 and verse 33. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came onto the borders of the land of Canaan." What is manna? If I asked you, how would you describe it? Well, the children of Israel asked the same question when they first saw the manna. They asked, "What is manna? What is it? And what is it means manna?" Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." And verse 14, "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses says unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." And a further description is given in Numbers 16 and verse 7, states that the manna was as coriander seed, and the colour thereof was as bedlam. What is manna? Well, we have read that the Lord says that it is the bread from heaven. And when the dew that lay was gone up, there lay a small round thing as small as hoarfrost, and it was as coriander seed. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 6, we read of the Lord's commandment regarding the manna. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather off it every man according to his eating. An omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had gathered nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses says, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And here we see in these verses, the rules regarding the manna are: one, that it had to be gathered fresh every morning. Two, each person had to gather their own. And that no matter how much you gathered one day, that amount was only sufficient for that day. And if you gathered much, or if you gathered little, whatever you gathered would suffice you for that day. And then turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and the verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence comest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe in him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thy work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. And in these verses we see that the manna which the Lord gave to the children of Israel in the wilderness is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true bread from heaven. And as we read from John chapter 1, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God, so that now we see that the true bread from heaven is the Word of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 119 verse 105 states, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. This shows us the path to take, and illuminates us in the way in which we should go, and which reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14 and 6. The Apostle Paul states that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and Paul again instructs us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the Apostle Paul is encouraging us to study all Scripture so that we will profit in doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. And in so doing, we will find ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have read in Exodus 16 how that the children of Israel had to gather the manna every morning, and that how each person gathered according to their appetite. It did not matter how much a person gathered. He that gathered much was satisfied, and he that gathered less was satisfied. Lamentations 3 and 23 states that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And first thing every morning, we are to seek the Lord and the word of God, the true bread which cometh down from heaven. And depending on our appetite is how much you gather. And remember, today's manna is for today. It is not to be gathered every day, because the Lord's mercies are new every morning. And so we ask the question, how big is our appetite? How big is our appetite for the manna, for the word of God, the true bread which came down from heaven? Psalm 63 and verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in the dry and thirsty land where is no water. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where is no water. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And now we consider Aaron's rod that budded. Turn with me now to Numbers chapter 17. Numbers chapter 17, and reading from verse 1. Numbers chapter 17 verse 1 reads, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name on his rod, and thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the houses of their fathers, and thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it will come to pass that the man's rod whom I choose shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece for each prince, one according to their father's house, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked, and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, Bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And C.I. Schofield in his notes states that Aaron's rod that budded is a type of Christ in resurrection, acknowledged by God as high priest. Aaron's priesthood had been questioned in the rebellion of Korah, and so God himself would confirm it by choosing Aaron's rod. The head of each tribe brought a rod and put life. The head of each tribe brought a rod, and God put life into Aaron's only. But we want this morning to see Aaron's rod that budded and bore almonds as a type of the new birth in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul states, "And you have he quickened, that is made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Chapter 2 and verse 1. And the Lord states here, and the Lord states here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be disciples. John 15:8. When we confess our sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, we are born again of the Spirit of God. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 that we were quickened, that is, we were made alive, but we were made alive to bear much fruit. And so we must ask ourselves this morning, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, are we bearing much fruit? Are we bearing any fruit? And turn with me now to Exodus chapter 7 and reading from verse 8. Exodus 7 and verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, before his servants, and it became a serpent. And from these verses in Exodus 7, we can see that Aaron's rod that budded had previously became a serpent. Turn with me now to Exodus chapter 3, reading from verse 1. Now, Exodus 3 and verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon I stand is holy ground. And chapter 4 and verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And here we see that Aaron's rod, which budded, which had previously become a serpent, was Moses' shepherd's crook, which he had when he was tending Jethro's sheep in the backside of the desert. And in chapter 4, verse 2, when the Lord asked Moses, what is that in thine hand? And Moses answers, a rod. This rod, in fact, is Moses' shepherd's crook, which defines who Moses was at that time. For Moses has now been a shepherd for 40 years. And the shepherd's crook symbolizes Moses' way of life. It is the status symbol of Moses' livelihood. For Moses made it his living as a shepherd. Then in verse 3, when the Lord asked Moses to cast his rod on the ground, and Moses obeys and casts his rod on the ground, and that Moses is in fact, what Moses is in fact doing here is casting his livelihood at the Lord's feet. He is giving all that he is to the Lord. And when the Lord says to Moses, put forth thine hand, Moses is given a new life of purpose. When the Lord says, and take it by the tail, the Lord gives Moses a new purpose, because you don't lift the serpent by the tail, you lift it by the head. So Moses is taking care of the attacks from the enemy. Moses is given a new life of purpose when he takes up the rod, in that he is to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and lead them to the promised land. But not only did the Lord give Moses a new life of purpose, but the Lord gives Moses power to fulfill that purpose. And if we could come to that place where we could cast our livelihood at the Lord's feet, like Moses, the Lord would give it back, but with a purpose, and the power to fulfill that purpose for the Lord. We would have a life of purpose and of power. In verse 4, where the Lord commands Moses to take the serpent by the tail, symbolizes that the Lord will take care of the danger in Moses' life, for no man would pick up a serpent by its tail. Rather, they would pick it up just behind its head so that it could not bite. So that when we give our lives to the Lord will take care of the dangers in life. Revelation 20 and verse 1 states, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit. And verse 19 states, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. On the Aaron's rod that budded, we see that when our lives are surrendered completely to the Lord, that the Lord gives us purpose and power to fulfill that purpose, with the Lord taking control of all the dangers that will come our way. But also the Lord will take control of that old serpent, the devil, his attacks in our lives. And as the Lord attacked, and as the Lord asked Moses, what is that in thine hand? So the Lord asks you and I this morning, what is that in thine hand? Then when we are willing to cast it down at the Lord's feet, we are willing to be obedient to the Lord. The contents of the ark, the tables of stone, the Aaron's rod that budded, and got the other one. Tables of stone, the Aaron's rod that budded, and the gold pot of manna. Amen. Do you close in prayer, dear?
Thanks and we praise you again for thy word, for thy word is truth. And we thank you, Father, for your truth, your word.
Yes.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not. And we thank you, Father, for the clarity of the message this morning, Father. If we lay it down to the Lord will look after us. And sometimes that's the hardest part to do, Father.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, for, again, for the help you gave Sam. Yes. And we think of Moses, Lord, that, Moses, in 40 years, thinking he was somebody, he had another 40 years finding out that he was a nobody. And then he had another 40 years, Father, finding out what God can do with a nobody. And so, Father, it's clear to us all, Father, that we're willing to lay it down, that, Father, you're willing to take us up, Father. And it's not only, Lord, the filling, Lord. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord. And we thank you again for the salvation of our souls, Lord. We know, Father, we all can't be preachers, and we all can't be teachers, and we all can't be different things. But we're all part of the body, Father, as we know by Scripture. And we pray that you'll help us in the days that may lie ahead, Father. That if we be faithful, our God will be faithful as well and meet our need, no matter what, Father. And so we commit it to you and give you thanks this morning again for each and every one of us this morning. Because there's a challenge to us all, Lord. Nobody's left out. We're all involved, Father. And so, Father, we commit it to you and give you thanks for this morning, for the help you've given Sam, Lord. And may, Father, the Lord glorify your name, Father, as we were here this morning at the table to glorify what you've done through Calvary's cross. Because the blood of God reminds us, Father, of the resurrection of our Savior and Lord. As it lay there and the buds came upon it, Father, the Lord lay in the grave, Father, and was rose up again, Father, and we thank you again for the salvation of our soul and for the precious blood. God has conquered death, Father. Death, that wears your sign, Lord. And Father, that will come a day, Lord, that we'll all be raised up, Father, and we'll be like your Son. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for that great, mighty plan that you brought down to man. And praise you. We praise your name, Father, for our time this morning. Pray you take us from this place, take us from homes in safety, that nothing befall us by the way. And again, Father, when we return again on Wednesday, if you tarry, we're committed to you in the Savior's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, David.
So you're not like to sneak off with the tails, you know?
They were snakes.